Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that you've chosen to tune in this morning. I know it's not always easy to get up early in the morning, especially on Sunday, but what a great way to start out the week. And I am sure privileged to be able to share the Word of God with you week after week, Lord willing. And so I wanted you to turn this morning to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, or if you're just laying there in bed listening, that's all right too. I hope you love the law of the Lord. Now, when David wrote this psalm, Psalm 19, this was under the first covenant. This is what we call the Mosaic covenant, or the law of Moses. Although it really wasn't Moses' law, it was God's law, wasn't it? And it was God's law for the people of Israel that he brought out of Egypt. Now, that was to serve them as their way of life, not only before God, but also before the other nations. The other nations were to see these laws and principles and precepts put into practice and in action, and they were to be amazed and just rocked to the core by how good these laws were. They were just, they were fair, they were right, they were good for the time that they were written in, and principally, they are still good. Even to this day, we can make applications of the things that are a part of that first covenant, even though we are no longer under that particular covenant as a way of life. That was given a long time ago. We live in the 21st century. But the principles of those things, the things that are behind those, over in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught about how, unfortunately, what the nation of Israel had done, and especially the religious leaders, they had taken the laws and they just, unfortunately, they just kind of looked at them externally. So, for example, when the Bible says, you know, thou shalt not commit murder, okay, you shall not murder, all right, well, as long as you never actually physically, you know, killed somebody in, you know, a plotted out, planned out, and you took their life, as long as you didn't do that, okay, I've never broken the commandment. And yet, what God intended for that to be is, if that was God's commandment, then you don't want to do anything that would even remotely put you in a place where you might do that if the circumstances were all right. And so that's why Jesus talked about not hating your brother, not getting angry, so angry at him, and you just want to kill him. And that starts in the heart. You know, you will never, ever, ever commit murder if you don't have those kind of feelings in your heart toward another person. And even with those feelings, you still might not ever murder somebody. But if the conditions were right, the timing was right, everything was right, you might do it. Whereas if you never let those things get in your heart, then there's no worry of you ever doing that. And so on and so forth with the rest of God's laws too. But here in Psalm 19, David is talking about the law of the Lord. Okay, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures that had been given to Israel up to that time. Now, it wasn't finished yet. You see, the scriptures are a collection of writings. They're not just one person sitting down and saying, hey, I saw a vision, or I wrote this book, or this or that or the other. It wasn't just one. God gave his word over a period of about 1,500 years to about 40 different authors, and it's what makes it unique All of it is true and factual. The archaeology behind it, the history behind it, the names, places, people, they're all verifiable. Now, not every little detail of it, but enough to say, hey, this could not have come from just a human source. Okay, this isn't a fairy tale. It's not make-believe. And contrary to what some people say, it's old and archaic and outdated. Well, maybe that's because they're reading the King James Version that was written back in the 15th, 16th century and using that Shakespearean language. Maybe that's why they don't understand it. We don't talk that way anymore. And so get yourself a good translation that's newer and up to date. The New American Standard Update, the ESV, you know, the New International Version to an extent. All of these are better translations of the scripture in a language that we better understand. But here's David in Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. And I want you to just kind of get the feeling. I'll try to read it like I think he may have been writing it or even as it was sung. Because when we're talking about the Word of God, it shouldn't be just humdrum and so-so and whatever. So here's verse 7. Let me show you the contrast. So here's verse 7. If you read it like this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." Now, if that's the way you read, even quietly or in your mind, friend, you know, get excited about the Word of God. Whether it's in Genesis or Leviticus or Psalms or Proverbs, even Ecclesiastes or Revelation or the Gospel of John or the Book of Acts or whatever it might be, be excited and enthusiastic as you read the Word of God and strive to understand it. Think about how David was writing. He was overjoyed with the Word of God. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." In another psalm, in Psalm 119, in verse 105, you maybe remember it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," right? The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. All of them are righteous." You see, the word of the Lord is not some wimpy, flimsy thing that, you know, falls over if you touch it. The decrees of the Lord are firm. They're established. They come from the mouth of God, if you were. They are established in heaven first. And so we can stand on them. We can trust them. They are altogether righteous. Look at verse 10. "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults," he goes on to say. In other words, God, you've given us these incredible, magnificent precepts and laws and statutes to govern our lives and to help us to see ourselves and to live in a way that's pleasing to you. But God, sometimes we miss our own error. We miss our own sin. We miss our own shortcomings. We can get proud and arrogant and stubborn and bullheaded. You know, I love the way David, even though he acknowledges God's word and how good it is, he still recognized that, man, you know, "Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins so that they may not rule over me." You know, friend, that's a great prayer. That's a really good prayer. "Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me." You know, it's bad enough when you just kind of trip up accidentally or because of this or that or the other. But willful sin? when you've been tempted and tempted and tempted and you resist it and you struggle with it, and finally you just say, who cares? And you just give in and you just willfully sin without any care or consequence or anything. You think nothing's going to happen. Keep your servant from those kind of things. May we as Christians always take the way of escape that God provides. He won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, friends. And it's good to remember that. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. You know, I don't want to be guilty of sin. I don't want to be guilty of great willful sins. I mean, I don't want to be guilty of any sins. But boy, it just sometimes those things that just kind of happen and you weren't planning on it. And you're like, wait a minute, what did I just do? Okay, where you're not doing it willfully and stubbornly, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. That's where our life ought to be lived. And then he gets to verse 14, and this is kind of where I want to focus this morning. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So when David composed this song and thinking of the Lord, in fact, in verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. David praised the Lord. He honored the Lord. He recognized the Lord. He acknowledged him in all of his ways, even before Proverbs 3 was written. And so here, when he's done with this song, this psalm, and especially these last verses about how good and amazing and wonderful the laws of God are, the precepts that God has given to Israel, he says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart, in other words, Psalm 19, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He wanted God to be pleased with his song. Amen? And so, and yet, here's a principle for all of us. Maybe you're not a songwriter. Maybe you haven't ever composed anything in your life. Maybe you've never even written a letter. You know, with cell phones, we don't hardly write those anymore. We just kind of text people. But here's a good precept, a principle here. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Okay? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Now, before we go to our first song, I want you to think about that. How are the words of your mouth? What kind of things are coming out of your mouth? Okay? And don't forget that even if it's not literally physically coming out of your mouth, it's in your heart. It's in your head. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what you're thinking about, what's on your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And even if it doesn't come out of your mouth, if you're thinking of it, you're already doing it. That's where you need to control it. In other words, okay, I think sometimes, you know, when people get in difficult or trying circumstances, if you have been accustomed to swearing, using obscenities, filthy language or coarse words or anything like that, whether it's the, you know, the F word or just a vulgar slang word or, you know, sailor talk, you know what I'm talking about, okay? If those are the kind of words that are coming out of your mouth, or if you're thinking about those kind of words, even if you're not saying them, then can we really say, may these words of my mouth and these meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight? Are they? And if they're not, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to say, well, you know, I've had a sailor's mouth all my life, and I'm just gonna keep on swearing and keep on cussing, and I don't really care. Well, that's not a really good attitude to have, is it? May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. If they're not, then what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 comes to bear. Take every thought captive. We need to take hold of that swear word and say, no, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to think it. I'm not going to say it. Lord, help me overcome that. I don't want to talk that way. It's not pleasing to you. And frankly, there's a whole bunch of other people it's not pleasing to either. Somebody says, oh, everybody swears. Everybody cusses. Nope, not everybody does. And certainly not out loud where anybody and everybody can hear them. There was a homeless man one time that came into McDonald's when a friend and I were standing there in line, and he just started, you know, swearing and F this and F that and foul language. And I did. I turned around and I said, hey, I said, you need to stop that. I said, there's women and children present here. And he goes, ooh, Mr. Goody Two Shoes, you know, don't tell me you've never sworn. I said, no, I did used to swear quite profusely. But when Jesus got a hold of my heart, it changed the way that I talked too. And so it doesn't mean I don't know what those words are that you're saying. I'm just saying that they're vulgar and they're foul and you need to quit talking like that. And he just kind of and went to the back of the line and just started. And so eventually he left. But, you know, there's times where you just need to stand up and say, hey, enough of that. I don't have to listen to that. And you shouldn't be talking like that. And you know what? I'm interested in the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart being pleasing to God. How about you? Hey, let's think about that this morning as we listen to our first song. This is a song by Josh Wilson, and the song is called Savior Please. In other words, Jesus saves us initially, but we want Jesus to keep right on saving us, right on cleaning us up, right on transforming us from glory to glory, right on helping us keep those old fleshly habits and words and actions and behaviors and attitudes. We want God's help. We want Jesus's help to keep us from these willful sins that sometimes people are not concerned or care about. And that shouldn't be with God's people. We should be concerned and make sure that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are pleasing in God's sight. All right, let's listen to our first song this morning.
Savior, please take my hand. I work so hard, I live so fast. This life begins and then it ends, and I do the best that I can, but I don't know how long I'll last. I try to be so tough, but I'm just not strong enough. I can't do this alone. God, I need you to hold on to me. I try to be good enough, but I'm not. So hard, I fade so fast. Will you begin right where I am and be the God of all I am? Because you're all. Everything. everything you are to me. Holy, is everything I'll ever need. And I'm learning to believe. Holy, that I don't have to prove a thing. Holy, 'cause you're the one who's saving me.
All right, we're back this morning. What a great song by Josh Wilson, Savior Please. And I hope you have that mindset that you so desperately understand your need for the grace of God every day of your life, that we constantly need to recognize Jesus as our Savior, because it's certainly not anything that we can do by ourselves. And frankly, that's our motivation for cleaning up our mouths. Instead of using our words and our speech for evil, God wants us to use it for good. He wants us to use every part of our body as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. And friend, we can only do that in Christ. In fact, in John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so, it's really about Jesus has called us out of the world to live for him instead of for Satan. And so if we refuse to do that and say, "Hey, I don't really care about walking with Christ or listening to him or his words," then it's like a branch that's thrown away and thrown into the fire. It's not doing what it was intended to do, bear fruit. And so that's why Jesus said, "You must remain in me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you're following the desires and the will of God in your life." Then sure, God's going to give you the desires of your heart, because it'll be the desires of his heart also. This verse isn't saying, "Hey, I wish I had $1 million. Boom. God isn't a genie in a bottle, friends, okay? So it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And frankly, a lot of that is in the way that we speak to one another, okay? It's in the way we speak to one another, whether it's within the church, whether it's within our families, whether it's at work, at school, wherever it might be, friends. How are the words of your mouth? Are they pleasing in God's sight? Okay? Are they pleasing? Only you can really answer that. Now, maybe other people around you, if you ask them, "Hey, do you think the words I use are pleasing in God's sight?" You might be prepared for a shocker, maybe, if you haven't been very concerned about your speech. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the couple minutes that we have left before we have to end this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Okay? You're either going to do that or not. You're either going to be concerned about that or you're not. You're going to strive to make sure that's not going to happen. And if it does happen, you're going to go, "Whoa, wait a minute, stop." Okay? Once you've spoken a word, you can't put it back. It's like trying to put toothpaste back in a toothpaste tube. It ain't going to happen. Okay? So don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay, that's the kind of things that ought to be coming out of our mouth. Those are the things we ought to be thinking about. Hey, how can we help someone else? How can we encourage them? How can we build them up? What can we do to make things better for people by the things that I say? Okay, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But make sure that what's coming out is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you're not doing that, start praying and asking God to help you to do that. And start catching yourself. You know, sometimes people say phrases like, or so, or you know. And the only way that anybody's going to stop doing any of those things, or the only way somebody's going to stop doing that is if you point it out. If they say like, stop saying like. I'm not saying like. Yes, you are. No, I'm like. No, I'm not. Yeah. See, you just did it again. Once you start calling people out, making them aware of it, they'll start hearing it for themselves. And then, boy, all of a sudden, they'll start changing it. Because like, wow, I say that way too much. Okay? So building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth that is harmful instead of helpful grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Do we really want to do that? I don't think so. Okay. Now, believe me, I struggle with my tongue and my mind and my flesh, just like the rest of you do. Okay. And so verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, think about that. If you are bitter and full of anger and rage and brawling and slander and malice, what kind of words do you think is going to come out of your mouth? You really think you're going to be helpful to someone like that? No. But if you're kind and compassionate and forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, then you're going to have a different mind. You're going to have a different attitude. You're going to think more about what the Lord would have you to do. Okay? So follow God's example. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Okay? Verse 4 of chapter 5 says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Friends, we're out of time this morning, but I just want to thank you for listening this morning. Think about your words. Think about the meditations of your heart. Do it all to the glory of God. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. Come and meet with us. We'd like to encourage you. We'd like you to encourage us. We'd like to build each other up in the Lord Jesus because he's so good to us. And so we're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study and prayer. Love to see you there. Love to meet with you. Love to get to know you. You can find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And again, love to see you. Watch your mouth, literally. Watch your mouth. Put a guard on your mouth. Ask God to help you to put a guard on your mouth and use your mouth to praise him and to bless others. So until we meet again next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. May God bless you. May the grace of Jesus go with you.